Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is local author Kristen Neva. Kristen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as I've mentioned before in this show, I always like talking to authors because they always have a lot to say. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the ability to write books, and they're usually very interesting interviews. You have a book that has come out recently called Snow Country, a Copper Island Novel. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that coming up. First, I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. Are you from the area?
I am. I grew up on Quincy Hill outside of Hancock, and I lived there for 17 years, and then I was gone for 17 years, and like many, I returned, because we always come home.
That is true, and it's one of the reasons why I settled on this area when I came up here, was I was asking people about living here, and a lot of them had that same sort of story. They grew up here, left, and came back, because as they discovered, there's no other place like this. 17 years, where'd you go?
I went to college in Chicago, and then I got a job in Milwaukee coordinating a tutoring program at a rescue mission down there. And I love that job, but I also love the UP, and I'm glad to be back.
Have you always been interested in writing?
I have. I think because I was a reader, and I think many readers, we dream of writing a book. And so as a young child, I did a lot of journaling, and then I wrote a memoir, and now I'm trying my hand at fiction.
Did you find that your travels outside of this area helped you with being able to write?
Well, it certainly gave me perspective on the area. Coming back, I was able to see the charm and the uniqueness of the Copper Country. I don't know if I could ever, although I love the city and the cultures in the city, I don't know if I can ever live in the city again because I tend to leave my purse places. And so it's really nice when you get a call from the post office and they let you know you left your purse here.
Now, your first book, your first full novel here is heavily influenced by the local area where you grew up from or grew up in. And did you intentionally set out to put your, I guess, the setting of your first novel here in your hometown where you're most familiar?
Yes. Well, people say write what you know, and I know this area. So in a way, that made it easier because I didn't need to do a lot of research. But I also just love this area, and I love reading small town novels with quirky characters, and the UP, it fits the bill.
There are plenty of quirky characters.
We do.
Now, are you Finnish in your background?
I am. I'm a third generation Finn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I knew the answer to that, but you know, people in the radio land out there may not know it. How does that sort of upbringing and ethnicity go into your book?
Well, I grew up speaking a few Finnish words. My mom speaks Finn fluently. My dad did not. But I grew up with makara and, of course, sauna and nisu. And I knew how to say hyvä päivä. And my mom taught us to sing Finnish Christmas carols to cheer up the old people in our church. And so I grew up with knowing I was Finn. And in my novel, it comes through with some characters, not all, because our little region up here is a melting pot. But some of our characters are Finn, and we have the concept of sisu and sauna. There's always a lot of humor involving saunas. And so there's some humor in the book when people get in the sauna unclothed.
Just left me speechless.
It's wholesome, though. It's wholesome fiction.
Now, writing a novel is a huge undertaking. What was your inspiration or motivation to be able to do that?
At this phase of my life, in my late 30s, I find myself where I did not expect to be. I'm at home being a caregiver for my disabled husband. And so writing is a good creative outlet for me. It's something that I can do while I take care of him. And it's actually something that we can collaborate on because he is funny. A lot of the quirky lines were probably his idea. I'd run things by him and then he'd give his feedback. And he was my first editor too, my husband Todd. And so it's a way that we can build a life within the cards that we've been dealt in life. He has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a terminal diagnosis, but he's slow progressing and he's in a wheelchair. And paralyzed, but this is a way we can build a good life in the midst of what we've been given. And it's fun. It's fun to escape into these characters, to imagine what ifs, and to develop scenes and develop humor and see it all come together.
The title of the book is called Snow Country, a Copper Island novel. Give us a quick synopsis of what the book is about.
It's about a young woman named Beth, and she's jilted 3 weeks before her wedding. She's a California girl, and she really detests working with her ex-fiancé, and so she decides to quit her job in California and drive across the country in January to visit her grandmother, who lives in Snow Country on Copper Island, in the town that I call Quincy instead of Hancock, so I have a little more creative freedom. And as she's driving into this snowy town in January, she gets pulled over by a young state trooper who turns out to be the neighbor boy who checks in on Grandma. And this neighbor boy, Danny, he thinks Beth is pretty cute. She is not too interested in dating so soon after a broken engagement, and she is not so sure about Snow Country either, or about his rocky past.
Okay, and hijinks and hilarity ensue from there?
Yeah.
And this is, as an author, you have to read the book to find out.
Don't want
to
give it away.
Sure. Was there a particular theme that you were trying to expound on when you're writing?
There's a lot of themes from my life. I think I touch on some of the big themes: love, loss, suffering, and sisu, perseverance through the difficulties. It's been described by some readers as a romantic comedy, but it's more than just a comedy, or more than just a romance. There's some depth to it, interspersed with some of the humor.
Well, I found that romance as a genre has a lot of power, ability to tell deeper truths in a way that, you know, we've all experienced those emotions, and so we can identify with usually characters involved in a romance story, whether it's a drama or a comedy. Even though that is, you know, what hooks your reader in and they start following it, it allows you to touch on so many other truths too in the book.
Yeah. My husband likes to say that sometimes fiction is more truthful than nonfiction, because in it you can explore things and you can have characters kind of take things to an extreme, whereas maybe in our own life we would tone things down, but the characters, you can magnify idiosyncrasies and really just take it to a whole new level.
Now, the main character of the book is a young woman named Beth. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about her.
Well, Beth is a California girl. My mother was a California girl. And Beth thought she had life all figured out before her broken engagement, because she was following all these rules for courtship, and then her fiancé broke up with her, and that kind of rocked her world. And there's some more surprises when she gets to Copper Island that continue to rock her world. And so she's kind of figuring out how to reassimilate her worldview and what she should do next in life. And Danny, he's kind of a little more mature, and he's not as naive as Beth, and so it makes for some good tension between my two main characters.
Who were your influences for Beth?
Well, me, because I thought I had life all figured out until my husband was diagnosed with a terminal disease when I was 32. So that really rocked my world. And although that isn't the incident that rocks Beth's world, I was able to channel some of those same emotions that I felt into my character when her world gets rocked in a different way. So she was, but there's a little bit of me in all of my characters. Even I have this old Finn named Mac. His name is actually Toivo Mackie, but Toivo, he thinks, is a little too old-fashioned, so he goes by Mac. And he's an aspiring writer, and he jots notes down in his journal when he is at the Heiki Lunta, which is kind of my version of the Kaliva or the Suomi. And he, there's a little bit of me in him, too, because I tend to have to stop my car and pull over when I get an idea about something, or sometimes I'll be in town and I'll hear someone say something funny, even just at the cash register, and I'll laugh and I'll say, I need to write that down. That might make it in another novel for some character, because that's just funny.
Now, I'm picturing you going through the writing process while you're dealing with your personal life struggles. Was writing this novel therapeutic in any way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a way to explore these themes that we all face in different ways. We all go through times when life just is not what we expected and things don't turn out the way we expect. And I think we have similar human reactions. And, you know, it's different for different people. But as I've been through this, people start to tell me their life stories. And for others, it's, you know, why is my child sick? Why is my child struggling with cancer? Or why did my baby die when there's so many people out there who are on drugs having children? And I, you know, was a good parent. And so for me, it was, you know, why does my husband have a terminal disease when our children are so young, just elementary age school children now? And for Beth, it's, why did my engagement fall apart? And then also, why is my grandma sick after she's been so much? So that's kind of something you learn fairly early on in the book, so I'm not giving too much away, but grandma's having a problem with her health too. And so it was a way to explore those themes that I think are universal to all of us.
At the same time, it has to be difficult, because we tend to want to try to shut off our emotions as we're going through such a difficult time. You had to do the opposite. You had to both internalize them, process them, and then put them down in paper in the form of your characters. So you're sort of double living the struggles that you were going through.
Maybe in a way, but I've always been a journaler, and I've always kept a journal, and writing has always been a way that I processed things, even high school romances and breakups I processed through journaling. And so it wasn't that uncomfortable for me to write those emotions. And I think it gives some authenticity to my character's development.
Now, I have to ask, since there's, you know, so much Finnish influence in the book, Finnish American influence, the characters Beth Dawson and Danny Johnson, you didn't go with strictly Finnish names.
No, well, Beth Dawson, she's only half Finn. Her grandma is Luisa Herola, so that's a good Finn name. But her mother married someone who was not Finnish. And then Danny Johnson, well, I know Johnson may be kind of a universal name, but I know some Johnsons who are Finnish, so it's a pretty general name.
Okay, but you chose those names intentionally. Was it not to make the book too Finnish?
Well, the UP, it's such a melting pot. So there's some diversity among the characters and the cultures, and that's one thing I love about this area.
What parts of the area did you highlight in the book?
Well, the two main towns are these twin towns that I call Douglas and Quincy. So obviously they're based on Houghton and Hancock, but I chose to make those fictional names so it would give me more creative freedom to make up people, to make up businesses. I wouldn't want to paint an existing business in a bad light, like with a snarky waitress who gives bad service, but I have one in my book, and so I needed to have a fictional business and fictional town. But it's pretty clear to the readers who've read it so far that we are talking about the QAnon, and I've been pleased that the feedback is like, yes, this is what the UP is like, and it's accurate. For more of the outline areas, I talk about Eagle River and feeding the deer up there, and I don't change that because I don't need to invent anything in there. I have Brockway Mountain, that's real, and Big Traverse is real. So some of the outline areas I just leave as is, and then the areas that I want to invent people, then I make those up, because in future books, no one dies in this book, but in future books, I wouldn't want to kill off the storekeeper of a real store. That would be kind of poor.
The weather in this area plays a part in this book as well.
Yes, yes. We get so much snow up here, and it's overwhelming sometimes, and winter is long. And I think it's in the book, it's used as an analogy for how Beth is feeling, like her life is in winter. And then the question is when will spring ever come? So that's a bit of a deeper theme in the book. And then also just the snow as she's coming into town, it's such a contrast for her coming from California. And that was the case for my mom, who was a California girl and married my dad and moved to the UP. And just like Beth gets pulled over for driving too slowly, the officer thinks that she might be drunk. That happened to my mom her first winter here. She got pulled over. So that was the inspiration for that scene.
Some of the inside stories. I love how it comes to life in the book there. How long did it take to write?
It was a three-year project. And I started, really got serious about it 3 years ago during the National Novel Writing Month, November of 2013. And I cranked out 50,000 words. That's the goal of the National Novel of NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, is to just get the words out. And so I got those 50,000 words on paper, and they were pretty rough. And so I spent the next few years reworking and learning what makes story work, and revising and getting feedback and revising some more, until now here it is, released to the world.
When did you finish?
I finished, well, I don't know if you ever really finish. I finished when it was published. And up until that point, I had editors finding typos, and someone even found a typo after. And so in future editions, that will be corrected. But yeah, I didn't finish until right before Christmas.
Talk about that experience after you were done and you're basically shopping the manuscript around to a possible publishers. How did that go?
Well, the shopping around actually started last January, and I did find an agent. I think he was maybe the third agent that I queried. So that was pretty exciting. And then he had feedback on the book. And so I, you know, got some revision through him. And then it was really exciting to see my book go out to some big publishers, because he copied me on the query letters he sent. But I got more feedback from some of those publishers, such as the pacing is too slow, much too slow. And I was thankful for that feedback, because I didn't know what I was doing, and it gave me something concrete that I could then go back and apply and add more tension to the different chapters and make sure there was tension in every chapter to keep the story moving. And so it was all part of the learning process.
Who eventually published?
I ended up going the indie route. I did have a small publisher who was interested for a time, but we had some artistic differences. And so then I decided it was time to just put it out there and see how far I could take it through the indie route, and the feedback so far has been encouraging from the few hundred people who've read it. And so I'm excited to see how that goes.
The indie route I know well. Usually that's a code word for basically paying to have it done. Well, you know, you have to put a lot of your own investment to usually get something put out, right?
Well, mostly time for us. It's independent publishing and it's self-publishing, but with today's tools like Amazon's Create Space, it doesn't take a lot to get something out if you know the right people.
Great.
And I do. So our cover model, my husband ended up doing the cover. He's disabled, but he's able to do a lot with voice dictation software and with a head mouse. And so he created my cover, and the model's a local girl. My mom took the picture, and then my husband put it together in the cover. And so we were able to bring it to production for a pretty reasonable cost.
Well, that's good news. When did it become available?
November 28th on paperback, and I think a week after that on Kindle.
Oh.
So it's on Kindle, and now it's on Nook, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, and all these different e-readers.
All right. So it's only been available for about 6 weeks.
Yes.
Okay. How has the reviews gone so far? What have you heard?
Well, I thought my audience was going to be women, maybe 15 and up, but surprisingly, the women who've read it like it, but surprisingly, the guys are liking it too. From our neighbor picked up a copy, and he has 14 kids, and his book kept disappearing, and he didn't get a chance to read it. And then he found out his 12-year-old boy was up all night reading it with a flashlight. And so that was a bit of a surprise, because that's not my target audience. But yeah, the reviews have been good, and it seems like it speaks to a cross-section of at least youpers. The youpers see themselves in it, and it's gone out a little bit further than the UP, and it seems like people, they like getting a taste of our community, because our community is so unique. Now, as a child, I fell in love with Prince Edward Island, Anne of Green Gables, and I hope that I can do the same thing with Snow Country, and I hope that people across our country will fall in love with Copper Island on our beautiful Keweenaw.
Do you have plans on writing anymore?
I do, yes. In the back of the first book, there's the cover for the second book, Copper Country. And that one is actually finished and is in the editing process. And so that one is going to happen for sure. And that'll be out in June. And people tell me they're waiting for that one. The third one, God's Country, I have a title and I've started working on it. And that one's coming a little bit harder. I think it often happens for the first book, you know, an author can kind of mine their own life for ideas and start, like, you use your life as a starting point. I mean, the characters aren't me, but you think, okay, this happened to me. And what if I take it to this direction? And for the second book, I was able to talk to some friends who have different life experiences in my character, Amy, who's a minor character in book one. She becomes a major character in book two. And so I was able to interview them on their life and their relationships. But the third book, now that's a challenge, especially because now I have this inner editor and I know how to write. I get a little more paralyzed in the writing process, whereas with that first book, it was just NaNoWriMo, 50,000 words, no critique as you go, just, you know, get it out there. And then the critique came over the next 3 years. So I think I need to do that again with book three, is just quit editing as I go and just get it out there.
Is there any connection between the three books? Is, you know, Beth and Danny's story told all in this book, or do they make appearances in the others?
They do, yeah. I think readers, they've fallen in love with Grandma Lou and Beth and Danny, and so then they'll be minor characters in the following books. And Russ and Amy, Russ, he lives off the grid, so he's a youper who is living a really rustic life. He appears in book one, but then he becomes the major character in book two, him and Amy, and it's book two is their story. And so yeah, I like books where I fall in love with the characters and the characters become my friends, and so that's what I'm trying to write too.
Well, I have to assume that you would characterize the experience as a positive one. I mean, if you already have a second book ready to go and a third one ready to start, you have to be feeling pretty good about it all.
Yes, it's been positive, and especially to get it out there and then to have people letting me know that they're waiting for the next one. That's been the fun part.
Snow Country, a Copper Island story, is available where?
It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you go to my website, KristenNeva.com, I have links to all of those outlets. Or if you just go on Amazon and search for Snow Country, and then my last name, Neva, N-E-V as in Victory A, it'll come up. It's also available locally at Finlandia's bookstore in Hancock, Northwinds, and at Copper World up in Calumet.
Talking to people that have read it, do they tell you you're reflecting their own stories, people that you never even met before?
Yes, some of them. Some of them the stories, and then others are like, you nailed the local flavor, and so that's been fun.
Yeah, that's very has to be very rewarding, you know, to know that you can, beyond just entertaining somebody, that you, you know, you're able to touch on things that they themselves have gone through and yet share those experiences with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there's just human themes that we all deal with. And so when they're in a book, we can relate.
My guest this segment has been Kristen Neva. She is the author of Snow Country, a Copper Island novel. It's available now at bookstores locally, and you can order it online as well. We'll post up Kristen's contact information on KeweenawReport.com so you can follow her and certainly get more information about the book and order yourself a copy, and I bet you'll breeze through it. I've been able to flip through a little bit. It's very interesting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Copper Country Today will be right back.